Morning. Should we just bow our heads and just pray and then we can start. So, Father God, we just come to you and just pray this morning that it's not my words that are spoken here, but Father, it's the word of God that gets spoken. And I pray that everyone will be blessed here as much as I've ever been blessed from reading the word and seeing all these amazing truths that come out from the book of Jonah. Father, I just pray that we will learn from it and it will help us in our life, in our walk. And Father, also if we're individuals that are here this morning that don't know thy son, that it would be words of conviction to repentance. I just thank you now, Father, and pray this in your son's precious and holy name. Amen. Morning. Thank you for having me here today and just have the opportunity just to testify and just of what I've learned from the book of Jonah. And it was a real blessing to read it and to learn from it. And the title of the sermon today, it's Running Away From God. And that is, we're going to learn from that time of how Jonah ran away from God and what sort of things we can learn from that. So looking at communication, or as it's called in the army, comms, it's a vital for any army to function and its effectiveness. Not only that, organizations and even our own relationships, communication is so important. And looking back, we look at the D-Day landings, which is one of the big things in World War II. And it was on the knife's edge of whether or not it was going to go forward. If you look into history and you read and or listen to podcasts, you see that this whole amphibious mission was on the knife's edge, and all the Allied forces were waiting for this perfect opportunity for us to go and start this mission. And the soldiers were waiting for that sound for when the general or their leaders up there would tell them, this is it, we're going. You know, and when the word was sounded, the soldiers went forward, not knowing what was in their dark, unknown waters. So some didn't even know whether or not they were going to be going back to their wives and their family, but they still did it. They went forward. They trusted their leaders with a message of fighting for freedom and truth and to stop the Nazis. But let's look at a different story. When God calls and talks to us, do we run away like we see here in the story of Jonah? Do we see the hardship laying ahead of us and choose to ignore God and hide from him? You know, so God has given us a calling. God has given us, each and every one of us here, a calling. And I've preached about that before, about God's calling, you know. So he's done the same for us. He's given us a higher calling at the end of the book of Matthew. And it says, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He has communicated it to us as he's communicated it to Jonah through his words. So we look there and he says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of the Amittaites. So God commanded, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Firstly, who is Jonah, the son of Amittai? He came from a town called Jephthah near Nazareth, and in all and that later area is known as Galilee. So we can see this in 2 Kings 14:25. So he was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo, Hamath, and the Dead Sea, in according with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. So Jonah was a typology of Christ. So that's just a posh word of saying there's similarities between Jonah and the Lord Jesus. So he came from the same area as Jesus did. He was a prophet who proclaimed the word of God. The Lord Jesus was the prophet who was and is the word of God. There are other similarities which will be highlighted as the sermon goes on. So as we go through it, we'll start looking through the similarities between Jonah and the Lord Jesus. So at the start of the book of Jonah, God called Jonah and gave Jonah the message to go to Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness. So we can see then verses 1 and 2. What was the significance of Nineveh? Why did God tell Jonah to go to Nineveh? And Nineveh was the Assyrian, it was part of the Assyrian Empire, and they were known for being idolatrous, proud, cruel, and a ruthless nation warped on world conquest, and had long been a threat towards Israel. So one of the reasons that I think maybe Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, he actually feared the repercussions and the vengeance of the Assyrians preaching against one of their enemies. Furthermore, there were many temples of Ishtar, which is an Assyrian goddess of love, war and fertility, and was associated with vengeance and justice, and among other different things. So Jonah feared this enemy, and he ran and tried to hide from God, much like we can see in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, tried to even hide from God. So in Genesis 3:8, it says, "Then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord, and as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid from the Lord, Lord God, among the trees of the garden." And that in itself is, how can you hide from God? How can you do that? Like, it's impossible. But like us all, we've all done that. We've all tried to hide from God, you know. And before we had the calling, before we decided to give our lives to the Lord Jesus, Jonah decided to go to Tarshish. Why was Tarshish important? So if we look where Tarshish is geographically to where Nineveh is, it might help understand the reasoning of why Jonah chose Tarshish. Nineveh was located in the east of the Tigris River and modern-day Iraq, so we're thinking east. And Tarshish was a city near Gibraltar in the southern part of Spain, which was west of Israel. So during Jonah's disobedience, he was aiming to put as much distance between him and Nineveh as possible, not really addressing the issue. Much like us before, we gave our lives to the Lord, there is a huge chasm between us and God because of our disobedience. And that great gap and death were due to our sins. So we read Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, death through sin, and in that way death came to all people because all sinned." And the same as Jonah, before we knew Christ, we tried to hide from God. Or if you have not bowed the knee, you still may be trying to hide from God and his word. But we can't run from God. As we see in verse 4, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. This was a judgment and a mercy. This caused all the sailors to cry out to their gods. But did the storm stop? No, it didn't. What did they do next? So they tried to lighten the load up of the ship. This is like people saying on the street when we speak to them, I trust science. I trust the higher authorities. I've given up gambling. I give money to charity. Life is good. I'm a good person. So they're trying to trust in their own strengths, even though that there was this God's judgment on them. So we can read in Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me on the day of the Lord, 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 did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Linking this to the scripture in Matthew, it talks about individuals who think they are saved because of their works. They do not, the works they do, and not trusting in the Lord and his work of the cross. In verse 6, the sailors found Jonah, and he was asleep. They were shocked, because if you think about it, it's this huge storm. These sailors must have been experienced sailors, knowing what the storm was like. They've been through many storms, but were really scared by the storm. And yet Jonah was in a deep sleep. It caused them all to fear for their lives. So when reading it, it made me think of another link between Jonah and Jesus, and the similarities in that. So in Matthew 8:23-27, when the Lord was asleep in the storm, the disciples cried out for their lives as well. And this may have been, I've got two parts to this here. This may have been Jonah trusting in the Lord and maybe knowing that the Lord has a plan for him. And there was greater things to come. Part of me also makes me think that we can trust in the Lord when the storm comes, and have an active role. So that's the part that maybe thinks that we shouldn't be asleep in the storm. We should actually be awake. Unlike Jonah here, we should actually try and be awake in the storm. Not be fearful, but know that the Lord's got it, but have an active role in testifying of the Lord and his righteousness, instead of being caught sleeping like Jonah was. So we shouldn't be caught sleeping in the storm, but instead actively declaring his word, the word of God. So Jonah was asked to call on God to save their lives. So at this point, Jonah, in verse 7, hasn't come clean. He hasn't said to the sailors, actually, I'm the reason here that we're in this predicament. They had to cast lots. And to see who was to blame for the storm. And this made me think about when they cast lots for the Lord Jesus' tunic, that these men were doing something that not Christians have been called to do, to cast lots. And Jonah should have just been upfront with them and said, actually, sorry guys, I'm the reason that we're caught in the storm. I'm the reason that we're in this predicament. They asked Jonah who he is, what his occupation is, and where he's from. We've been given that. We've been given a nation, a home, an occupation. And our home isn't here. Our home, Jonah's home was, he was a Hebrew, and his home was Israel. But our home, as we are Christians, and our home is heaven, and our occupation is to testify of the Lord Jesus and give glory to him. So when Jonah, when they find out that Jonah is the reason for the storm, he comes clean and says, and tells them who he is and why the storm is happening. And he gives them the solution and says he is running from the Lord and he was meant to go testify in Nineveh. So in this way, I think we need to, as believers, need to know that we've come short and that we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord and live and testify for him. Verses 11 to 16 is much like the story of the cross and the cross, repentance and salvation. The sailors ask in verses 11, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? In other words, what should we do to be saved? Jonah said, throw me over. Jonah gave himself to be a sacrifice to die for them. Much like the Lord Jesus did for us, he gave himself over as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. The sailors still try to save themselves. We can see that and use their works attempting to row in verses 13. They tried their hardest to row. We cannot save ourselves through our own works, but only through the work of the cross. The sailors did not, they say then, verse 14, they did not want to kill an innocent man. All of us here today have killed an innocent man. We are guilty of killing the Lord Jesus. We nailed him to that Roman tree through our sin. Similar to Jonah's sacrifice saved the sailors, the Lord's sacrifice saved us when we do the same as the sailors. Repent and put our faith in the Lord. Because it reads there, they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At that time, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. I believe Jonah, when he was thrown into the sea and swallowed by the fish and was inside it for 3 days and three nights, I think he died. But we can discuss that point at the end. Some people might disagree with me on that point. And this is one of the other similarities that Jonah had to the Lord, that he died and was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. So as I draw this to the close now, we can see that Jonah is a typology of the Lord Jesus, pointing to him. And we can't run away from God and his will, as much as you want to try and do that. We're given a purpose, each and every one of us here are given a purpose. And it might be small or big, you might think it's insignificant, but God has given you a purpose. And that's to testify of his word and his works and listen to his calling. Amen. Amen.